May grace, joy, and a living hope be yours from God our Father, through the Spirit of our living Savior and Lord Christ Jesus. Amen. The message from God's Word today is wrapped together by these scripture verses. First, in Psalm 23, one of my mother's favorite sections of Scripture. The first and last of the verses, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Surely goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The opening, the verb in the first part of verse 6 is from the PJG version of the scripture. "Pursue me," that's Pastor James Grollo. And he has probably studied that in Hebrew more than I have. I know he has, and that's really the essence of the word. Often we hear, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me," and we kind of wonder if that's a trail we are leaving behind. Not really. It's the Lord who is pursuing us, just like the Father in the parable a couple weeks ago of the loving Father and the two prodigal sons. The Father went out to meet them both. He pursued them. "Goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And then from John chapter 10, the New Testament version of those same words, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Mary Schleicher was mother to my four siblings and to me. The five of us, along with Mary's five in-law children, almost always referred to her as mother or mom. In today's sermon message, however, I will probably reference her more often as Mary for at least two reasons. The first one is the name, title, mother or mom, stirs up a whole lot more emotions, and they come to the surface much more frequently. That is not a bad thing. My voice has cracked in any number of sermons at other times too, but the Lord's message should be prominent, and we'd like that to be shared. Secondly, Mother Mary always wanted the focus to be on what the Lord does for us, in us, and through us, and not so much, although it's important, but not so much on how well we loved him or anyone else, even if it's a very special family member as close as mother was to us, and I'm sure your mother to all of you. We love because he first loved us. One other side note, most of the hymns and the scripture readings in the service today were chosen by Mary only a few months ago, well after her 97th birthday. The firstborn of the siblings, my sister Mary, decided that we had heard Mother long enough say, "Let the pastor take care of what they read and sing. That's his job, isn't it?" And with some loving prodding, my sister Mary was able to lead Mother to share what verses, hymns she might like included in the service. And I'm glad she did that. The sermon theme, as you see it printed there, it's still all about Jesus, our Good Shepherd Savior. Just a short paragraph, this summarizes the whole message. Mary Schleicher was blessed with a strong faith in our Lord Jesus. She recognized her sinfulness. She knew the truth of God's word, that the wages of sin is death. And she knew that that was not talking just about physical death. That's part of it, of course. The wage of sin is death. If our sin is not paid for somehow, we would be separated from our Heavenly Father forever. And that's death. But Mary also knew and believed that God's eternal Son, Jesus, is the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. She trusted that through the damnation and death of Jesus, and by his glorious resurrection and ascension from the dead, we have the sure promise of eternal life with our Lord. And that life, the scripture says, begins even while we're living here on this earth. As our Savior does that remarkable transforming work of renewing us and changing our thoughts and words and actions to be more like his as we grow in that blessing of the fullness of life which he has promised. Certainly that eternal life is not fulfilled here on this earth. That day is coming, as Pastor James told us not that long ago. These are temporary goodbyes today. When our Lord Jesus returns, and invisibly, and he will, because God said it, and his word is true, and my mother believed that. When he returns on that great last day and takes the believer's body, renewed, glorified body and soul together home to heaven with him, then we will know the fullness of eternal life. But it begins now, and we certainly praise God that you could see that in Mary's life in many, many ways. Everything that is of any importance in life here, and certainly at the time of death, is all about Jesus. It's still all about Jesus. Our good shepherd Savior. What we say, what we think, what we do is only worth anything if it's renewed by his transforming, redeeming power. It's all about Jesus. Throughout the year 2017 AD, as Mary Schleicher headed toward her 96th birthday, Christians around the world, especially Lutheran Christians, we need to get those words right, don't we? Lutheran Christians were remembering the 500th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther posting those 95 theses. Historical theologians point to that day, October 31st, 1517, as the beginning of the Great Reformation in the Christian Church. In our synod, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the theme during the year 2017 was, it's all about Jesus. And the next year, 2018, the theme was, it's still all about Jesus. They changed it this year. There wasn't more you could add to that beyond those two. What a gracious gift from our Lord that Mary could be blessed by all the special ways that God's word was shared during that Reformation year, that anniversary year. There's a big rally up in St. Paul that year at Concordia, now called University up there. And a couple buses went from Rochester up there. I knew the answer even before we asked Mother. She wanted to go along with us, and she said, oh, that would be nice, but no, I've got to stay close to home. Who knows if there'll be a bathroom close enough by up there and all, and sit on bleachers and, you know, but she treasured the blessings of God's word that were shared every year, but very much in special ways that year. significant words, like those in that sermon theme, significant words were very important to Mary Schleicher, especially because of our Savior's words to each of us. Words like grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. And the word, title, name, Jesus. Because Mary knew that the scripture said Jesus is the living word, the incarnate word of God. You want to know what God has to say, you listen to Jesus. He is the word of God to us. And my mother Mary treasured those words of God, whether it was in worship time, in Lutheran Women's Missionary League activities, in Bible studies, sermons, Christian education classes, times of caring compassion in His name. It was all about Jesus. We're not saying it was perfect in her life, but I think she probably came as close as anybody, as I can figure, to letting her thoughts, words, actions be directed by her faith in Jesus. The God-inspired words were important to her also in other parts of her life, in the other roles that she had. As a daughter, first, then a teacher, a wife, a mother, a grandmother, great-grandmother, there are 23 of them now, and as a forgiven Christian friend to so many people. Quiet, but loving. I think of her regular devotions, family members, when you would visit her, if you were there throughout a day and maybe staying overnight in her apartment on that wonderfully comfortable pull-out hide-a-bed. Or the couch, wherever it was. But you know that sometime during each day, I mean, right next to that hide-a-bed was her Bible and her portals of prayer, and if it happened to be a special time of the year, there was another devotional booklet there too. Every day. Every day. Regular devotions and prayers at home. God's Word shared with her in worship, certainly, but also in church classes, both teaching that Word to others who then taught it to groups throughout the congregation, and also sharing that Word. She was part of the last Lifelight class she attended, and she attended many of them. The last Lifelight class was last fall, this past fall. She was 97. She did her homework regularly. Sometimes she had it done before we even finished the previous week's lesson, looking ahead to the next one, digging into God's Word. I happened to be the leader of that class, and she, in her own loving way, kept the leader on task also. There were times that my parents, mother and dad, shared words, very important words around our home in other languages. In German for a while. I don't know if that happened when you were growing up. Some of you, your parents had something important to say to each other that they didn't want the children to know what they were talking about. So out comes das Deutsch. That worked for a while until my sister Mary in school started to take German. Then the words were shared in sign language. We didn't quite know what they were saying then, but I'm sure they were important words. As I said, not all of my mother's words were perfect. Not at all. I don't remember hearing it very often, but there were times of anger and frustration, and there was some of that in the last couple months of her life too. When her memory was failing and her decision making wasn't all that clear, and she was really, really frustrated about that, and she'd yell at God a couple times. That's okay, isn't it? Lots of the Psalms are people yelling at God in frustration and other emotions that are there too. Mother knew she needed forgiveness, and she knew it was there through Jesus. Some of her words were shared at unique times. Not too often she would say to one of her children, not too often would you hear this, but occasionally, "You're the best." Whether she was talking about playing a musical instrument, we all five played instruments, some more than one, not the same for certain ones, "You're the best," she might say, or your 4-H projects that she worked along with the gals on. Maybe one of us or another was part of a winning club or a team or something. It's almost like she had to choke out those words, "You're the best," or "I am," or "We are so proud of you," but she didn't want us to be proud, prideful. She wanted us to remember that it's all about Jesus. The Lord is at work in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Maybe that's why they didn't give those compliments too often, but they sure let us know where our strength came. There was one other of her familiar phrases. When someone would share a compliment or a gift with her, you know what's coming, don't you? And maybe others of you have heard it in your home, and I think perhaps sometimes it's come out of our mouths. Nice gift or compliment, and mother would say, "Oh, you shouldn't have done that." I don't think that really bothered me a whole lot. Somewhat. It's kind of like, can't you just say, well, I finally realized that's the old Germanic background way of saying thank you. Danke. The importance of words, including the words in the 23rd Psalm. In your worship bulletin, would you turn to page 6, please? I'm going to invite you to share together in some form the biblical words about our Good Shepherd, Savior Jesus. As I said earlier, this was one of my mother's favorite psalms. It's very likely that 99%+ of the people here have this up in their top 5 favorite psalms as well. And as you see it printed there, there are 6 verses in most translations of Psalm 23. If my mother had seen the way I asked Pastor James to print this here, she would tell me, and some of the rest of the memorization purists of Bible reading in the group here today would say, that second phrase of what you have numbered as 1 is part of verse 2. We were trying to balance out the lines a little bit here. Incidentally, it's the text of the scripture that's inspired, not the verse numbers. Okay? Jesse Cruzmark, circuit visitor, is here. If you have a problem with that, talk to Pastor James, okay? We're going to read the verses of the psalm and just reflect on them briefly. Family members first through the first 5 verses, 1 at a time, and we will start with the youngest sibling and her family. Scripture verse that mother knew, "The last shall be first." You get the honor. So, Sister Carol and her family, please read with me verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." With the Lord as your shepherd, the phrase says, I shall not want. That's one translation. It could be rendered, I have everything I need. I am not in want. We don't get everything we want, using the word in a different way. And usually that's good for us, that we don't get everything we might want in that sense. But we have everything we need with the Lord as our shepherd. I've heard stories of when my mother was growing up. This is in the little town that's attached to the side of Springfield, Illinois. Zoning ordinances were different from within the city limits of Springfield and then little Jerome that's just outside of Springfield, Illinois. That's where their home was. The mailing address is Springfield, of course. And I don't know if the sibling, when we went down in the summer sometimes, this probably had been finished before we got down there, but you remember the big acreage behind the homes and the house on the corner where Mary and her siblings and her family grew up. They lived through the Great Depression and World War II and all those things. So they had in their yard, on the acreage there, they had everything they needed. A cow, some chickens, and a few goats. The cow, milk, right? And eventually, beef. And then you get a new cow. Chickens, get your eggs. And if you had enough chickens, every once in a while, Sunday dinner. The goats didn't need a lawnmower or a scythe out there. They'd keep the grass down out on the acreage and so on. They had everything they needed. And how many of us would think that's enough? But the Lord was their shepherd, and He was providing what they needed. He does for us too. Verse 2, Sister Jane, husband Don, would you read with me? He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Most of the psalm is about spiritual blessings. Verse 1 certainly ties into other things in our lives as well. But leads me beside still waters, lie down in green pastures. That's what the sheep need. You can read books about that in commentaries. They don't want troubled waters. They won't drink there. They need the shepherd to take them to the quiet waters, the still waters, and to the green pastures to get that nourishment that they need and to restore their strength again. The picture is of what God does for us in His means of grace, in the word, His Word and the sacraments, feeding us, nourishing us in our faith spiritually, and restoring our soul with new life and His peace. As I mentioned, my mother had her devotion books out regularly, her Bible, and she would, I don't know how many times in her life, she wouldn't tell me if I did ask it, that she read all the way through the Bible over a period of time. And at age 96, and again at age 97 on her birthday, she did mention, she said, I'm going to start through the Bible again. But during that year when she was 96, she was really getting frustrated because her eyesight was changing. And she told me at one time, you know, in any given sitting, I can only get through about two chapters at a time. So she divided her time up and did a couple in the morning and a couple in the evening. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand here. Mine wouldn't go up. If God has blessed you with that much love for His Word, to sit down and read probably at least four chapters of the Bible every day, praise His name. And may my mother's example guide me and more of us again to get back to reading that word day after day. Because that's where He nourishes us and restores our soul. Verse 3, Brother Don and wife Linda, would you read with me? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Righteousness has a couple meanings in the scripture. One meaning of the word righteousness is forgiveness, being set right with God by his grace through the forgiveness. The Lord does, our shepherd does lead us in that path, doesn't he? My mother treasured that. The word righteousness also means to do what's right, to do what is pleasing to God. And it's through the Good Shepherd Savior Jesus that my mother or anybody else can walk in that path for his name's sake, that he be glorified. Verse 4, if my family members would join me as we read, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Our Good Shepherd Savior Jesus was with Mother Mary even in the dark valleys. It's possible that not everybody here knows this, that Mother had liver cancer, not because she drank a lot of anything alcoholic. That was shortly after they moved here to Austin. Some of you maybe knew that and remembered that. But she had that bout with liver cancer. That's got to be a pretty dark valley, isn't it? But even there, she could fear no evil. We didn't hear much about that. The Lord carried her through that. Obviously, she had other illnesses, maladies, sicknesses, difficulties. They're part of the dark valley of life, too. We walk through them because the Good Shepherd is leading us and pursuing us all the way. You are with me, Lord. Sometimes we need his rod to nudge us back. Sometimes we need his staff to hook us and pull us back. But that gives us comfort, the psalmist says. That's good for us. We need to be on his path, not off wandering away somewhere. They comfort me. And there were deaths of close family members that my mother had to walk through that valley with them too. And the Lord was with them there. Verse 5, Sister Mary and her family, would you read with me? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I don't know if any of us here could name an enemy that my mother had. In the presence of my enemies, unless it was Satan, as he just battles with us all the time, and he did with Mother. But the Lord was with her. And in the presence of enemies, whether it was Satan or those who don't believe in Jesus, who can be kind of nasty to us at times, we sit at the Lord's banqueting table. He anoints our head with oil. Our cup overflows. It runs over. The folks around us who don't know that it's all about Jesus don't know what they are missing. They need to hear it. They need to hear about the banqueting table. What a blessing that is. All of you folks gathered here together, let's read verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We get our foot probably into that house a little bit while we're here on this earth, but my mother's soul is resting in the arms of Jesus. She is dwelling in that house right now. By the Lord's grace, through Jesus, our Good Shepherd Savior, Mary enjoyed living her life. She lived it similarly to the way she drove her car. Some of you rode with her when she drove her car. She lived the last 18-plus years of her life in courtyard apartments. There is underground parking at Courtyard, climate controlled throughout the year. That's kind of neat. And as you posted down in the underground parking garage are signs that say speed limit 5 miles an hour. My mother was very cautious and courteous as she drove from the parking space toward the door. When the door opens, you need to make a quick turn left and head up the incline to get up to street level. The 5 miles per hour does not apply outside the garage. And my mother wanted to make sure she made it up that slope. It's like she wanted to get it up to 30 miles an hour as fast as she could. Sometimes she didn't stop at the sidewalk, but most times she did as she came up that ramp. But what I'm saying is that's the way Mother lived her life. She was very cautious, courteous, tender with people. But when there was work to be done, when there were things to share, even including sharing the love of the Lord that he had shared with her, that was energy. That was fast. That needed to be done right now. In and through the grace of our good shepherd Savior, it was still all about Jesus. So in closing, now what? Now what? I have a little devotion paper here that I tore out of the 2018 Lutheran Hour Ministries Lenten devotion about a year ago. It was April 2nd of the year 2018. The title of that devotion booklet was Silent Witnesses, very similar to the devotion booklet this year also. And when I read it a year ago, it just touched me so much. It's about eternal life. It was printed on Easter Monday that year, last year. And I pulled it out and I tucked it in a file and I said, someday, somewhere, there's going to be a place to share this. A couple weeks ago, as we were looking through things in the apartment where my mother had lived, I happened to flip open one of her Bibles. There was a sheet of paper in it. This one. At Mark 16, the text of the devotion, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint the body of Jesus. The title of the devotion says, Now What? And if you can just hang with me as I read this, you'll sure see what this meant to Mother and to us. Joseph and Nicodemus didn't have time to do a proper burial for Jesus that Friday evening. Though they did the best they could, the women who followed Jesus were not satisfied. They planned to come back early Sunday morning and do the job right. Thank God for you women and for Mother Mary who want to do the job right. So the ladies went shopping, probably Saturday night when the Sabbath was officially over. They bought spices and ointments, all the things they would need to wash and anoint Jesus' body. They packed them up to take out to the tomb the next day, at which point, as they approached the tomb, it became abundantly clear that no spices were needed. Jesus was alive. The funeral was canceled. And now what? Now what should they do with all the spices? Well, you could try to get a refund. Just imagine trying to explain that, the reason why, to the shopkeeper. Or you might save them for the next person to die. But death itself had been conquered. Who knew what would happen next? The writer says, I imagine the women finally shoved them in a chest or closet and decided to figure it out later. We won't tell you what's in some of Mother's closets and chests. Well, you don't have to. You all know how that goes. Jesus' resurrection must have led to any number of such ridiculous, joyful moments. And since Jesus will raise all of us who trust in him, there will be more moments like this in the future. Think of what we won't need in the new heaven and the new earth that he is making. There will be no cemeteries, no funeral homes, no dark clothes and solemn suits and handkerchiefs, no wills, no phrases like I give, devise, and bequeath, no inheritance tax, no hospice programs, no palliative care, no grief counseling, no grieving, no sorrow, no death. Instead, there will be life. There will be love and happiness and laughter. There will be activity and creativity and fellowship. There will be friendship and joy as at last we get to know one another without sin ruining our relationships. And best of all, there will be our Lord Jesus. There will be God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit who made us and redeemed us and sanctified us for joyful life in God's kingdom forever. Thanks be to God for the faith he gave to Mary Schleicher and her life and witness, and that he offers to all of us. It's still all about Jesus, our Good Shepherd Savior. Amen.